Blog Talk Radio.
The senseless deaths and killing of Trayvon Martin moved a step closer to reaching American justice with yesterday's announcement by Florida State Attorney Angela Corey. At a press conference watched by millions of people around the world, Attorney Corey announced that she had filed second-degree murder charges against George Zimmerman. Zimmerman turned himself in, was arrested, and at this hour is awaiting his first court appearance. The public outcry has sent shockwaves throughout the United States and beyond in this case of an unarmed black 17-year-old youth simply walking back from the store with a bag of Skittles and a bottle of iced tea before being gunned down by a Community Watch coordinator. Florida's Stand Your Ground law, community policing, stereotypes, and race are all on trial in this high-profile case of shoot first and ask questions later. The tragedy of losing yet another black youth should cause pause for all of us in all 50 states to review our own state laws as we seek justice and equality for all. To help us understand Florida's legal system and clarify the difference between first, second, and manslaughter charges is celebrated Florida attorney and past president of the National Bar Association, Warren Hope Dawson. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm glad that you've joined us. We will bring our special guest on in just a moment. But before we do, I want to make two announcements about the Multicultural Symposium Series. We're doing some exciting things planning not just for 2012, but also for 2013. In 2 weeks' time, a little less than 2 weeks' time, on April 25th, Wednesday, April 25th, we will have the next monthly segment of our webinar series, all on leadership issues, multiculturalism and leadership, part of our Multicultural Symposium Series member-based webinar series. You can go to our website. We're going to do a fair amount of updating between now and tomorrow, so you will see new information about the webinar, about a very exciting announcement I'm getting ready to make, and other ways that you can become involved in this important discussion. The more I hear about news and what we're going to talk about for the rest of the hour, the more I realize that global diversity, empowerment, multicultural issues are at the forefront of just about everything that we're doing, even when we're not even realizing it. It is extremely important. So I would encourage you to go to msfconnect.com, msfconnect.com, and learn more about the Multicultural Symposium Series, or you can go to my website. The other website is tellcarole.com to learn more about speaking services and all of the other activities that fall within the range of diversity and multicultural issues. We're coming out this summer with Connections Magazine that is going to debut this summer. I'm very excited about it. We have a long list of wonderful advertisers who will be included in our inaugural publication. And we'll tell you more about that wonderful publication and magazine in the coming weeks. That's also a part of the Multicultural Symposium Series. And also, I am very proud to announce that next year will begin our cruising. We are going to have our first cultural Caribbean cruise that will take place Saturday, April 13th through Saturday, April 20th, 2013, on the wonderful Reflection ship that is part of the Celebrity Series. It's an 8-day cruise, 7 nights. We will have all this information again starting this afternoon posted on the website, and ports of call include San Juan, Puerto Rico, the Phillipsburg, St. Martin, and St. Kitts as well. Just exciting, exciting places. We also are going to have a special Caribbean cultural presentation delivered on the ship when the ship is out in sea by Dr. Ada McKenzie. She is an assistant professor originally from Boston, but she is now at the College of the Bahamas, and she is now becoming a leading expert on cultural issues related to Caribbean islands here and there. And she is going to be our special guest when we actually sail the Atlantic and go from port to port on the Reflection ship on Celebrity Cruises. So you can, again, go to mssconnect.com and find out more about that. Rates are pretty reasonable. Interior cabin is $1,395. Balcony is only $1,625. You just have to tack on your airfare and whatever spending change you're going to bring and come and have a great, great time. So we'll have more information about that going forward, but want to make that grand announcement today. Well, back to business. We are trying to muddle our way through and get American justice in place in the case of Trayvon Martin. We now know that Special Attorney Angela Corey yesterday had a press conference, and George Zimmerman turned himself in. He has now been charged with second-degree murder. I got on the phone and called my brother, Attorney Wilson Copeland in Michigan. He is a very well-respected lawyer in Michigan. And then he connected with one of his dear friends in Florida who can give us more information about these various charges that have been filed against George Zimmerman because he is the past president of the National Bar Association, has been in practice for 44 years and has tried many a case in the state of Florida. Warren Hope Dawson, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Well, thank you so much, Carol, and I'm happy to join you.
Great. First of all, can you give us just basic lay definitions about the different filings that can be done by attorneys, or in this case, the special attorney, versus first-degree murder versus second-degree murder versus manslaughter? What is the difference, Attorney Dawson?
Okay, happy to share that with you. In the state of Florida and probably in some other jurisdictions, the notion of first-degree murder is one in which a human being's life is taken and the perpetrator of the crime did it from a premeditated design. That is to say that they had time to think about what they were doing and then proceeded to take or had planned in some way to commit homicide or to take the life of another. Mm-hmm. That's generally known as first-degree murder, by a premeditated design. Mm-hmm. I should say, however, though, in terms of that premeditated design, it doesn't mean that you have to plan it for a week. The premeditation can, in some instances, occur within a few minutes or so. There's no great time factor necessarily, but it must be... The state must be in a position to show that indeed there was time to reflect and then a decision made to go forward and actually take the person's life. That mm-hmm. is what is meant by premeditated design, and that is what is known as first-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
You come on from there to the charge that actually was made against George Zimmerman by the special state attorney on yesterday, and that is that she charged him with a second-degree murder. And I might add, she charged him with second-degree murder in spite of the fact that much of the talk that had gone on prior to yesterday was that it was expected that the offense with which George Zimmerman would be charged was going to be manslaughter.
Right.
Well, instead of manslaughter, to be very frank about it, the state attorney did what they do in most instances, and that is they generally charge a defendant with the highest possible crime that they can charge them with.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, she charged him with the highest possible crime that she could charge him with by way of what is called an information. An information merely means a piece of paper that she signs charging him with the offense, okay? Mm-hmm. In Florida, unlike some other jurisdictions, and certainly different,
and I just want to tell my listeners that Attorney Dawson has been practicing for 44 years. He is based in Tampa, Florida, so that's why we're talking to you at this point. Continue on, Attorney Dawson.
Sure, happily. In this instance, as I say, the charge was second-degree murder. Now, second-degree murder under Florida law is defined as the unlawful killing of a human being when perpetrated by an act of imminently dangerous, by an act that is imminently dangerous to another, and evincing a depraved mind that has no regard for human life. A short version of that would be that a person acted in killing Trayvon Martin. That's what George Zimmerman is charged with.
Mm-hmm.
By charging him with second-degree murder, the state attorney is saying that Zimmerman acted with a lack of regard for human life.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key point.
Now, on the other hand, manslaughter, the charge that everybody thought he might be charged with,
right,
would have said in short layman language that he, George Zimmerman, acted in a reckless manner that caused his gun to fire, ultimately taking the life of Trayvon Martin. The big two-word difference is second-degree murder acted with a lack of regard for human life. Manslaughter is acted in a reckless manner that resulted in a life being taken. Got it?
Now, related thereto, of course,
is the matter of the so-called stand your ground defense, which
right.
I'd be happy to discuss with you.
Please. And let me ask you, before you discuss that again, lack of regard versus which deals with second-degree murder. Is that correct, Attorney Dawson?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then reckless deals with manslaughter.
Reckless, acting in a reckless manner that caused a life to be taken. Mm-hmm.
Ah. And is the reason why I'm talking with you is my brother, Attorney Copeland, said that second-degree murder is defined differently in different states. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh.
That's true. And of course, there are even different types of first-degree murders, and there are different types. There are even third-degree murders in some states. But focusing in on what we're dealing with here, is one in which it was either manslaughter under Florida law or second-degree murder under Florida law. But let me also say, too, that manslaughter under Florida law is a lesser-included offense of second-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what we're saying in that regard is if this case goes to trial, and it potentially could do that, or it may very well not go, that a jury could find him guilty of second-degree murder as charged, or it could find him guilty of a lesser-included offense, i.e., manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
You got it?
Which, of course, they also
could find him not guilty of either one.
Yes. And I'm sure that Attorney Corey, going for second-degree, understands all this as much as you do, knowing that, worst-case scenario, he could be found guilty of manslaughter ultimately.
That wouldn't be the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario would be that he would be found not guilty of anything.
Not guilty of anything. That's correct. That is
right.
Correct.
Yeah.
But what they do,
and quite often people from the lower socioeconomic ladder find themselves charged with the highest possible crime, which in turn forces them, in some instances, out of a self-preservation. To plead to a lesser included offense, even though in their own mind they didn't commit anything. But rather than run the risk of being, for example, in this instance, the penalty for second degree murder could be life in prison without the opportunity of parole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
The penalty for manslaughter could be a lot less. Mr. Zimmerman and his lawyer ultimately will have to make a decision as this case goes forward as to whether or not they would want to opt to plead to manslaughter and avoid a trial on second-degree murder, which could result in substantially more time in prison than would it be if he negotiated a plea and pleaded to the lesser included of offense of manslaughter.
And as you're explaining this to us with your expertise, and you are highly respected in Florida, I'm now realizing the complications that will take place in the coming days or weeks ahead just based on what actually happens between Attorney O'Mara, who is George Zimmerman's attorney, and the prosecutor, Attorney Corey. A lot of that's going to be quite interesting, how that's going to be interwoven.
If I may just stop you there for just 1 second. You know, one of the major events that is next going to occur, aside from the matter of bail, which a judge has to decide and may very well be deciding that today,
mm-hmm.
and if not, they may put the bail hearing off until another day.
Mm-hmm.
But there is in that stand your ground law a so-called immunity provision, immunity from prosecution, that if you stand your ground under certain circumstances and someone is killed, okay, that you are immune from prosecution and you are immune from civil liability, okay, meaning that they couldn't sue you civilly, nor can they prosecute
convict you
criminally.
Yeah.
You got it? And so a judge, the motion will be filed undoubtedly by Mr. Zimmerman's lawyer claiming the immunity provision of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And a court, a judge sitting alone, would have to decide after hearing some evidence presented as to whether or not he thinks that or she thinks that in this instance the immunity is available to Mr. Zimmerman for having stood his ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because if so, then that would end the case right there. If this judge says, I find that he acted in compliance with the stand your ground law,
mm-hmm.
and therefore is entitled to immunity, that potentially ends the case, at least for that point. Of course, the state of Florida could appeal
that decision, but
that would stop this case in its tracks if the judge there in Sanford were to rule that he finds that stand your ground was extends to Mr. Zimmerman immunity from prosecution.
Now, can you explain to us, Attorney Dawson, this is extremely helpful too, explain to us the stand your ground law. We could possibly be facing it here in Massachusetts. I was just told yesterday by a supporter that it has died in committee here in Massachusetts, and the governor vowed to veto it if it ever came near his desk. But nonetheless, in New York and some other states, it is now there's a possibility that we could also have this law replicate itself in various states around the country. But can you explain stand your ground in Florida for us?
Yeah, stand your ground, which to me is a throwback to the days of the Wild Wild West. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Says it is contrary to what has been the law all the time. You've had the law of what is called self-defense. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yes,
but self-defense, if you are outside of your home. In other words, you're someplace other than in your home.
Mm-hmm.
If I attacked you, you would have the requirement on the law to retreat, okay, if you could.
Mm-hmm.
Go away.
Mm-hmm.
Get away. Move away from me. If you could. Now, of course, if your
you
back
could.
Is against the wall and there is no reasonable opportunity for you to get away, then you don't have to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could retreat, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, I could maybe use an example of if we were both in automobiles and I did something that clearly indicated to you that I wanted to harm you, and all you would need to do is take a left turn and go off in another direction, and you would be away from me,
mm-hmm.
then you would be expected by the law to do that,
right.
rather than maybe reaching in your glove compartment, getting a gun and shooting me right away.
Yes.
If you had a chance to get away, that's That's self-defense traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
You would have a responsibility to retreat before using what is known as killing force. Got
mm-hmm.
it? Now,
got it.
This stand your ground law says, oh no, you don't have to retreat. If I approach you in some way that you reasonably think that I am about to inflict death or serious bodily injury on you, then you have a right to stand your ground, not retreat, stand your mm-hmm. ground, and use killing force to stop me.
Hmm.
If you reasonably believe that you were about to lose your life, or that if you had a child with you, if you thought I was about to do great bodily harm or death to your child, someone mm-hmm. who you are obliged to protect,
right.
you then could take killing force, stand your ground without retreating.
Hmm. Well, you have done a brilliant job explaining Florida law to us, stand your ground, also helping us to understand the difference between premeditated murder, first-degree murder, lack of regard, second-degree murder, and reckless manner, manslaughter, and the various categories that defendants find themselves in. In this case, we're talking about George Zimmerman, who allegedly shot and killed Trayvon Martin and has now been charges filed against him. He's been arrested for second-degree murder. In your years of representing various defendants and trying various cases, 44 years, you are also the past president of the National Bar Association. Where do you rank this case, Attorney Dawson? You have a lot of experience, well-respected in the state of Florida. Where does this case rank in terms of its severity, in terms of racial implications, and just gun control laws that either are or are not in place?
It ranks high in all of those categories. There is clearly, in my view, and this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
A racial aspect to it.
Yes.
I cannot imagine that anyone would be killed, a person taken to the police station and released, without the police charging them and essentially fully placing them under arrest. You could call what was done in this instance as a brief detention, although technically, when you consider whether or not Zimmerman could have left on his own volition, which in some regards is the definition of an arrest, he mm-hmm. indeed was arrested, but he was arrested and allowed to leave the mm-hmm. police station. Somebody in the police station, rather than in the state attorney's office or somewhere, decided that he was entitled to immunity, even though there was a dead child out there on the ground.
Right.
Okay. I just don't know who would be involved. And if you switch the roles of the race, for example, of the perpetrator as compared to the race of the victim, okay,
mm-hmm.
In every instance that I can think of, it is my opinion that a person would have been arrested, okay,
yeah.
and detained and ultimately have to bond out.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision about whether or not this law applied would be left to a judge at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen in this instance, in my opinion, because of the race of the victim in this
mm-hmm.
case. When those involved in the civil rights movement got involved in it, and essentially because again, after this killing occurred, it was a purely Sanford, Florida matter.
Right.
Almost no one outside of the city of Sanford even knew about this case.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And the kid almost had been dead and buried
hmm.
before word that his killing had occurred under the circumstances that we now know, before the world or the state or the country even knew about it.
Hmm.
But then when the word did get out, it flew like wildfire.
Yes.
And I'm positive in my mind that it was that publicity
mm-hmm.
that forced a number of things. It caused the chief of police to resign. It caused the governor to remove the local state attorney.
Right.
It caused the governor to appoint a outside special state attorney to prosecute mm-hmm. the case. And it caused that prosecutor to ultimately decide that, yes, he needed to be arrested. Yes, he needed to be charged. And that he not only needed to be charged, but he needed to be charged with the highest possible crime, which is ordinarily what prosecutors do.
Mm-hmm. And it also caused the federal judicial system to get involved, too. We
had
Eric
exactly
Holder,
right.
Attorney General. So, I mean, that's going to be a separate case altogether.
That's exactly right.
Once they finish their investigations. And as the mother of a 17-year-old who died in 1997 in a car accident, totally different matter, but still a 17-year-old, I grieve along with these parents.
Sure.
Having lost a son, it is absolutely horrific. And the grace that they have represented as a family, broken by the pain and suffering that they have endured, but the grace under fire, I think, has carried and served them well in swaying public opinion.
Yeah, that grace I also impute in part, okay,
mm-hmm.
to their decision, their smart decision to retain the services of Parks and Crump,
mm-hmm.
Daryl Parks and John Crump, not John Crump, but Mr. Crump, who have represented kids in similar situations.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know their background, too.
Mr. Parks is currently the president of the National Bar Association.
Oh, really? Ah.
Yes, he is.
Hmm.
And if you've seen the footage, he is the big fellow there who is the head of that firm of Parks and Crump.
Parks and Crump.
And Mr. Parks, Daryl Parks, is currently the president of the National Bar Association.
Well, clearly the Martin family chose well. They are well represented. And Attorney Dawson, I thank you so much for taking a little bit more time to be on my show, but you have so expertly explained everything to our audience and to me. It's going to make it, I think, a lot easier for us to understand going forward once hopefully this trial gets started and we'll be able to understand things from a very clear point of view. And if I may ask, as the trial hopefully gets started, I'd like to call you again to check in and get maybe more clarification if need be.
Well, Carol, you're certainly invited to do that. And let me just tell you, each step along the way is another major undertaking. And
mm-hmm.
for those who are vigilant about making sure that justice is done, you're only, as was said yesterday by Mr. Crump, I believe it was, we're only on first base.
Yes.
In terms of justice, that judge could could rule on the so-called stand your ground law, and this case, to some extent, could be over before it ever gets to a trial.
So the civic engagement and civic activism is extremely important going forward so that we don't go to sleep and allow something horrific to happen. Attorney Warren Hope Dawson.
It's got to become a movement, not a moment.
That's so true, so true. Thank you so much for talking to us today from Tampa, for explaining everything to us, and we will definitely have you on again as things progress. We've been talking to Attorney Warren Hope Dawson, a 44-year attorney, a former president of the National Bar Association, and clearly well-versed on this matter, helping us to understand what is taking place, what will be taking place going forward with the Trayvon Martin case and the George Zimmerman arrest and hopeful trial. We won't be on the air next week. We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you have a pleasant week or weekend. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Empowerment begins when you believe in yourself.